Okay. So where we are is the treasurer's report. Our favorite part of the meeting.
You have two documents, and one of them is a one-page document of both sides. We'll take that second. So let's take the big one first. And although later in the year we'll have more extensive discussions about reports like this and about the budget, today, since we've had such a full agenda, I'm going to give you some guidelines on how to read this thing, which you've already you received finally in advance. But I don't intend to go in too much to all these scary negative things at the end.
Make sure that everybody has.
Okay, this we're looking at the one that says. Income statement, and says up in the top section, the thing I like about this layout, by the way, is we've got numbers in the column that goes down the left-hand side, and we have letters in the heading across the top. So you'll see some financial statements come out without those little guidelines, but they're very hard to deal with. And so I'm going to try that we to make sure we always have them here. It makes it easier for us to discuss. So I'm going to use those pointers to show you some certain things. So now let's look at, we're looking at line two, income statement. In some outfits, it's called income and expense statement. And that's really what's here. It's not just about income. Some people, some entities call it profit and loss, but we're not a profit outfit, so we mostly don't use that, although sometimes the business manager shortens things to P and L. All right, so now what we've got here is a comparison of some budget figures to some actuals. You remember that the last statement you had was the first quarter of the fiscal year, 3 months, that was October, November, December, and we've added two more months, so this is a five-month statement. We're not even, this statement doesn't even include to half a year. And just to remind people, when we talked about the meeting calendar and how difficult it was to get all the information really quickly, and have the most current statement you could have, we just had to agree that most people wanted to meet the second Saturday of the month. That was the most convenient for people's schedules. They were used to it. It's really hard on the business manager and all the people that contribute the figures for the reports that she prints out for us. So we agreed that we will always be more or less a month behind. So this, although we're in April, this does not include March. So what we've got here is 5 months where we know what the actuals were for each budget line item. So she's put the budget in pink and the actuals in the white, just the white paper, and then there's a column next to that that says the difference. And when you get to the far right hand of that, by the way, I wanted to say that the first page, I consider this a five-page report, and there's page 1A and 1A. Those are related. And 1A for your copy, I think, is on the back. In other words, it's not as many columns across, and it looks very different than the one with all the columns. So these are related. And when you, if you look at the top page that has October, November, December, January, February, then fiscal year to date, and it's called year to date fiscal year 2016, which means it started in October of 2015 and it goes through September of 2016. And look at column AL, those actuals. That column, just to help anchor you for what to do with the next page, is pretty much equivalent to column BG on the next page. And it's not exactly the same, but pretty much. And then looking at the AL on the front page and BG on the second one. Now, the second page. I'm talking about the actual figures.
AM as in Mary is similar to BG as in boy good.
Yes, it is.
There isn't an equivalent to AL.
I'm sorry. I'm reading with a magnifying glass, kids.
AL and AM.
There's a note in AL, YAL, MBG.
Wait a minute. Why did I mix this up?
Line 11 on the back.
It's all right. Just let me find something here.
Line 11.
Shh, Robin. Yes, major donors is not in there. Ay, ay, ay. I thought I had this all. All right. Okay. AM, you're right, AM. In any case, more important, what I wanted to say about this page 1A is that you'll notice the months that are listed here start with March. These are the months that we don't have any actuals for yet. So all of these columns are the as the budget was laid out when we made up the budget before we started the fiscal year. And they are added on to the actuals from the first 5 months. And then the business manager did columns which compares them as though the rest of the year was going to go exactly the way the budget did. But we know that that is not the case. Usually, the budget is a guideline. It's not a contract. And each time that we complete a month, we'll see how close we came to what it was projected months and months ago. And there are things that need to be added to the budget. Like we talked earlier about maintenance that isn't in the budget. And I've got to say that those figures should come primarily from the chief engineer. And he has not been forthcoming repeatedly. And that has been a problem for making the budget. And I think that our GM now has a knowledge of what that problem exists. And when he made a commitment to have some difference next year about that, I was very relieved because it has made a problem for us in the long run. I don't think that I should talk any more about this, except that people will want to keep this copy and compare it next time we have a statement, which would be include then another month. That would be a half the year. And I think that's the time when traditionally people look at a budget and decide whether or not the budget going forward needs to be adjusted. We could now skip to the one-page thing. Yes. Yeah, I guess you should be able to ask questions, but I'm not prepared to, at this point, have long conversations about this.
Well, I'm not. This is a real simple,
go ahead,
kind of a stupid, you know, first grader question,
mm-hmm,
since I feel like a first grader. So do I understand, based on this budget, that we were ahead through these 5 months, $98,000? Is that what that means?
Which line and bot?
It's line 35 AM.
35 AM.
Negative. On expenses.
That's expenses. We were.
All right. So our income was 1 million. Okay, this is line 26 AL. Our income was 1,253,000 and change. And our expenses were 1,178,000 and change. So we were ahead that much over this 5 month period. Is that right?
Can I answer that?
Yes, please go ahead.
So, yes, we have a surplus over those 5 months, but we're a seasonal business. We have a lot of income come in through each fund drive that we then spend down. So the more relevant benchmark is, where are we relative to our budget, which is a plan for coming out even at the end of the year. Whether we're up and down, up or down at the end of a given month is not that useful. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's why I said the first grade. So where are we relative to the budget? What does that show?
Page 1A includes budget figures from March through the end of our fiscal year, whereas the big page is the months that we've already lived through, and the actuals are there. Yes.
My question is on line 8, on the first page, line 8 AM, which is listener support, and it shows the actual, and then it shows the difference in negative numbers of 113,000 approximately. So we're under, we're not meeting our targeted budget for the actual approximately a million. And my question is, because earlier we heard that we had met our fundraising goal, in fact, even exceeded it a little bit. So is it, I'm sort of wondering why we are, you know, if we're meeting our fundraising goals, why we are under on our meeting the budget line there.
Well,
it's.
I'll say one thing. You can say something, too, if you want. But the other page that we're going to be looking at explains something that has been talked about before. When we have a fund drive, the pledges come in, but the income doesn't come that day. It comes later. And so it's delayed as far as when it gets put into the bank and becomes actual income.
Right. I understand that. And it shows that we've made 99, 99, and 100%. So, yeah.
So the budget template we use does kind of a rough estimate of the timeline that pledge collections come in on. It doesn't distinguish between a fund drive that starts on the first of the month and a fund drive that starts halfway through the month, which is what our winter fund drive did. So the budget template anticipated much more collections in February than what's actually the case, because we ran most of the credit cards in March after the fund drive ended. So we just did a study session on KPFA's finances at the National Finance Committee. So I asked Chris Stellick, it was like 2 days before the end of the month, I asked our database operator to run an analysis. And the listener support that we had come in March is you don't have it here yet, is 160,000 more than budget. So the timing evens out. I expect we'll look better than budget on that line by the end of March.
And also the emergency fund that we asked for and had donations was in March, and that's not in this statement either. And that's going to adjust some things about capital expenses. Janet.
Yeah, so to page 1A. I guess that's the back.
Yeah.
So it's my understanding, I think, well, that column BE, which says fiscal year 2016 projected, that those amounts include the actuals from column AL from the previous page. Is that correct?
I think so.
Okay, so that is the projected...
combining the actuals from the first month
and
the projected.
So that's the projected actual, and so the next column is the for the year, and then the next column is the
total
budget.
And at this point, it looks like we would be down $113,000.
So, but just to clarify, it's probably a misnomer to call these projections. These are just pasted out of the budget.
Right, but it's really a way to look at what whole year would be.
Yes, but let me just explain the methodology here, because you see the variance there, 113,000, is exactly the same as the year-to-date variance. So Maria didn't run the data I just described and readjust the projections on collections. She just pasted what's budgeted to come in the future months. So that's not taking that delayed collection into account.
I think sometime we have to have a cash flow statement, which is different than this kind of thing, that shows what Brian has been talking about, that, as we say, the budget is a guideline. It's a guess, way ahead of time. And you adjust that once you see how the income is coming in. The sum income is rather regular, but others amounts vary a great deal.
And then what is the bank balance?
I'm sorry, I did not get that. Our our business manager has been laid up, and she's had surgery, and she's having recovery, and I didn't get the bank balance. She didn't give it to me. I know that the payroll went through okay. Yes, Anthony.
I see from, let's see, it would be column AN, row 9, website income down about 60% below budgeted. Was perhaps the budget over optimistic, or it doesn't seem like there should be a lot of seasonality to that?
Well, it isn't only seasonality. It is also the payments, people making time payments. And that's another thing that is, you can have some sense of how that goes when we look at the one-page thing, where how the pledges are made, the income does not come in right away. And I've heard from the data manager that sometimes people are paying pledges that are way old, and they finally get credited to the fund drive that they were made in. And the income that then came in late like that would be income timely when it comes in, but the reflection of when in the record of what the fund drives did, it would be paying back some old pledge. Gets complicated. Yeah.
But then shouldn't there be some old income from earlier?
Yes.
I'm just curious, 60% down is kind of a big number, but it could be.
I know what it is.
This is only. Oh, Brian.
So we define web income as money that comes in through the website, but outside of fund drives. The way we implement that is that everything that comes in within 2 weeks of the end of a fund drive counts as part of the fund drive.
It counts as listener support.
This year, because of the timing of our holiday fund drive, the large amount of year-end donations we get through our website on New Year's Eve got rolled into the fund drive, which means it got rolled into listener support numbers instead of showing up as web income. So it's
the holiday fundraiser.
The timing affected which line it landed on. It's not a drop in actual giving.
Okay. Should we go on to the... Sharon.
I actually just want to say I really, really do appreciate that you guys and you, the treasurer, have done this report. And I just want to say that on the record.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I didn't do it. I try my best to interpret it. I spend time talking with our business manager. So sometimes I can notice more that certain headings are helpful in understanding, and I have a lot of questions when she does this. She's the expert. And Brian, I don't know where he picked it up, but he seems to be some kind of an expert in reading these documents. I don't know.
I had your job for 4 years.
Well, I'm not sticking around after this one, I'll tell you. Okay, now let's look at this summary of... fiscal year 2013, 2014, 2015, and as much of 2016 as we've got.
Is that a one-page thing?
It's the one-page thing, two-sided. And if you really wanted to do super, super research, and you were very, very particular, I'm thinking of Janet in this case. You would go and get all of the previous statements that I've shown you after we have a fund drive that list how many people pledged, how much, you know. And I've tried to give you some during a fund drive, soon after a fund drive, a little later after a fund drive, so that you can see the progression of how income comes in. And you, if you had all those statements... You could have a nice research document, Janet, and you could compare them to this summary, okay? Yeah, oh, good. She might give up that kind of activity. Well, anyway, I think I'm just trying to tell you that those documents that you've seen before relate to this. And it's Maria has shown us how the... fulfillment progresses. Yes, it is impressive. She's talked about the goal and how much was pledged and how much was achieved daily, and then a 12-month fulfillment and total paid over time. I don't know. Brian, you got anything else to say about this document?
Oh, just to point out that for all the fund drives that are less than 12 months old, it looks like it's a low fulfillment rate, but that's because we have installment pledges that are still
right,
coming in.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it. In a way, this is comparing one year to another, if you knew what all the previous statements were that were issued. I think it's the main thing to think about this is that this is a tool, this kind of analysis that the management does in order to plan fund drives and to speculate about how many days they need to have fundraising, what trends are happening. Anyway, Janet. Now she's going to ask. Particular question.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that is missing is the total number of days for each year. And I just, for fiscal year 13, it was 92. For fiscal year 14.
Well, you mean if you were to add up the column of how many days for each?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then fiscal year 14 is 87. And fiscal year 15 is 72, if I added correctly. Mm-hmm. And fiscal year 16 is not complete. So.
Right.
So it's going down.
The trend is good.
So I have
Yes, Bill.
I have a question about, let's say, 2015.
Uh-huh.
So are we still expecting payment of an additional 15%, approximately 15% of the pledges from that from year 2015? Is that what this means?
Yep.
No.
She says yes, you say no. Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, it looks to me like total paid over time in for each of those fund drives in 2015 was approximately 85%, roughly.
Well, so far, all of the fund drives in that are on this sheet for the fiscal year 2016 were in 2015, the calendar year.
Okay, but what I'm trying to understand is...
Okay, you're trying to understand something the fiscal different. Year calendar.
No, I'm trying to understand something different. I'm looking at the year 2015. I see a certain amount
the
of money.
The year or the fiscal?
Whatever this is, FY15.
Fiscal year.
Okay,
that means
fine.
It started in 2014.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I see that it does. Okay.
The answer is if the fund drive is more than 12 months old, we would not expect to receive more than a percentage point of additional money.
Okay, that's one thing. Okay, so I'm looking at 2013, FY 2013, and I am totaling up approximately, it looks about like a couple of million bucks. Is that about right? A little bit over a couple of million dollars? Go to FY 13 and add up those numbers.
For all of the... fund drives?
For all the fund drives. It looks like
the total paid column?
Yeah, it looks like a couple of million dollars. Am I right there?
Yes.
Yeah, a little over a couple of million dollars.
Right.
So then I turn the page and I look at FY15 and it's less than that. It's quite a bit less than that. So why is that?
Go ahead.
So the station eliminated its summer fund drive after receiving large bequests and encountering some logistical problems with getting its phone set up correctly for that fund drive. So it's one fund drive less than previous cycles. There's a summer fund drive in the budget, unless we inherit another million.
Okay.
If you know anyone.
Sharon.
Okay, I'm looking at FY 15, fiscal year 15,
uh-huh.
And I'm looking at the first line, which is fall 2014, which I understand is in
right.
fiscal year 15. Okay, so if we look at the 12-month fulfillment rate, which shows approximately $596,000 at the 12-month fulfillment rate, which is an 85% fulfillment, I get that. Why does it say that percent collected in the first 6 months is 97%? That's what's confusing. The last line there where it says percent collected in the first 6 months is 97%, when the total fulfillment over a whole year was 85%. That's my question.
97.6% of the 86.5.
Okay, that is confusing, and
yep.
That's what I thought it was.
But you figured it out.
Well, I just wanted to verify.
Yes, that's right.
Of the column right before?
Yeah, of the total pay.
So the point is you collected a lot in the first 6 months.
Right.
We get, basically, we get one-time credit card donations that we run as soon as they come in. We get bill me's, which we get most of them within a week or two of sending the bills out the door. Then we have installment pledges that are billed on the 20th of each month for 12 months following the fund drive. And then we have, apparently, people who get a bill and let it sit in a stack of paper until they finally clean their house 2 years later and finally send us a check, because the numbers do creep up a little bit after the 12-month mark, but not by much.
Every notice that goes out to a person has a code number on it for what that pledge, and that it tells the data manager which fund drive the money should be credited to.
Just a point of information. I found in my box of old letters an envelope, a KPFA donation envelope from 1972.
Oh, send it in.
With something in it.
Unfortunately
with
not.
Interest added, please.
It had a dove. And it had a nice little dove on it.
Was that before Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard? Because if so, you can ping in bullion.
Are we ready to move on to the proposal for a retreat?
Yes.
I think that's you, TM.
We have to approve this budget or something?
Oh,
no.
No. That's a one-time year.
Once a year, yeah.
Hi, I would like to introduce a motion that I'm serving as spokesperson for a small group that has been meeting concerned about how we can save our wonderful Pacific Foundation. And so I am going to read this faithfully for what was approved.
Yeah, sure. Speak up.
Here comes the motion. I move that the LSB go on a closed retreat to engage in a facilitated discussion. Only LSB members and possibly a facilitator will be at the retreat. No decisions will be made nor votes taken at the retreat. I further move that a task force be formed to work on the logistics and agenda for the retreat.
Is there a second? There's a second. Frank seconds. It's coming right around. Oops. Here, Craig will read it again.
TM, this doesn't say what the subject will be. I'm wondering if that's something you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a good point. I'll brainstorm this. How about unilaterally that the current state of the Pacifica Foundation and how to remedy it.
So would it be fair to phrase this as, I move that the LSB go on a closed retreat to engage in a facilitated discussion on the
Pacific, the status of the Pacifica Foundation. Just keep it nice and broad.
On the status of the Pacifica Foundation.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what it says. I move that the LSB go on a closed retreat to engage in a facilitated discussion on the status of the Pacifica Foundation. Only LSB members and possibly a facilitator will be at the retreat. No decisions will be made, nor votes taken at the retreat. I further move that a task force be formed to work on the logistics and agenda for the retreat. Yeah.
So moved.
Is there a discussion?
Yes. Oh, boy. Probably.
Okay. I'll take a list. Is this, you're scratching your head or you're raising your head? Scratching his head. Bill Ramses, Tim, Janet, David, Frank. Go, Bill. And Sharon, your timing.
There are some longtime stakeholders in KPFA who are concerned about the future of Pacifica. The Attorney General is doing an audit currently of Pacifica. There may be problems related to premiums that were not sent out, especially at KPFK and WBAI. The AG began that audit about a year ago. They said, as I understand it, that it would take them about...
Point of order. We should not be discussing our status with the Attorney General or our perceived vulnerabilities right. regarding an audit from the Attorney General in a public meeting.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thanks. I didn't know it's. In any case, we have some issues that need to be considered. And I guess that's why we want to have a closed meeting. And we have some issues about the future of Pacifica. And what this retreat envisions is that there will be a, from at least what I would like to see, is a presentation of information about what the condition of Pacifica is, and what potential there is in the future for Pacifica to succeed or fail as an organization. And there is apparently some risk to the organization. And so some people were looking at the idea of having the LSB consider this and making some proposals about this, not in a closed meeting and not at the retreat, but at least to talk about it amongst ourselves so that we could figure out what we think about the organization and where it's headed to in the future.
So I'm in favor of a retreat. I think that we need to do it kind of step by step. I appreciate that the motion is talking about doing like a task force and so on. I envision maybe a couple of things, right? You know, bring a more sharp, you know, a sharpened up proposal based on some feedback here today at our next meeting. And then in between, if folks want to move ahead already, maybe do like a doodle poll just to see what dates in the future could work the best for everybody here. As to the other logistics or what's on the agenda, I think that's where we need the time to really capture what would be the best way to do something like this. But I do think that anything that will get us all in the room in a very intentional way to figure things out and learn also, because there's a lot of things I don't know that are going on with the budget and the process and then the other stations and everything and that budget. I think if we craft something really well and we're all in the same room with the intention of coming up with some good next steps, can keep our goals not huge but reachable, I think this could be a really good thing for us.
Just a point of information, closed retreats cannot make decisions. They can only explore questions and so on.
It's further than that.
Okay.
They cannot deliberate.
Okay.
So you can't like have all your debate in the closed session,
right,
and put a proposal on the table that you just slammed through in the public session.
Right. No. So Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Yeah.
Yeah. The Communications Act.
Right. So.
Point of information.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just wondering if we need to have an executive session, possibly, to talk about this, so that we could inform people more about the reason that we're thinking about doing this. I don't know if that's proper or anything like that, but since you raised this issue, Brian, about what we could talk about in the public meeting or not, I'm just wondering if that might be needed so that people can understand what the motion is about. I didn't make a motion.
Tim.
So I don't know how much of the answer I can get now to this question. I don't understand where this is coming from exactly. Who is this group of people who's asking for a retreat? When we say we want a retreat, are we talking about a day? Are we talking about a weekend? Are we I don't understand who would pay for a facilitator. I guess I don't understand a whole lot of it. So if somebody, I would need a lot more background before I could even consider this question. I have some background on the challenges that we're facing, but this to me just sort of comes out of, maybe I missed something, but it seems to be coming out of left field.
Sharon, do you want to answer that or Brian?
I was just going to try and get myself on staff.
Oh, you want to be on staff? Okay.
But actually the motion was supposed to be for one day. I believe one day was supposed to be included in the motion. It's a one-day retreat.
You want to answer that? Or?
Is that what the task force thing was, the crisis meeting or whatever?
Well, the motion, as I understand, to be constructed, we impanel a task force. They come back to us with a detailed proposal, and then we hash it out then. There's a cross-factional dialogue group here that's been trying to talk big-picture challenges facing Pacifica structurally. And we thought we were getting along well enough that we could propose a retreat for the local station board and kind of widen the circle of the conversation.
And also we thought that the local station board has some authority where the cross-factional group does not. I mean, you know, the amount of authority still is an issue, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to follow up, though. Who would pay for a facilitator? Has that been discussed? Because that was part of the motion.
The right? Task force would raise that, I think.
The point of information, so this would be a retreat for the crisis group and the board?
For the board. Okay, the stack now is Janet. David, Frank, Craig, Sharon.
Well, I guess I support a retreat, but not about the status of the Pacifica Foundation. To me, it would all, I mean, where would the information come from that people would be discussing? I mean, from what I have seen over months and months and months is more than that, is hearsay and propaganda about what this is or what that is and what it's just I don't know what people would really be discussing or the source material.
David, Frank, Craig, Sharon. Frank?
I would say I'd be willing to give it a shot. I feel like sometimes the room and the Roberts rules and all that just kind of prevents us sometimes from actually having a discussion that we really want, you know, and then just any other personal or impersonal stuff that just coming from being part of the LSB and factions and all that with a facilitated retreat, you know, it's more like, you know, level playing field. Everybody can just get along. There's someone there to moderate, stuff like that. So I think it'd be good for us, you know, and there is our situations that we want to talk about that sometimes we get limited in this room by ourselves, not by like executive session or anything like that, but just the nature of this room and these meetings, you know, so being outside the box, so to speak, you know, kind of literally in this point, you know, I think it'd be beneficial to us. And I don't know if Seeds does stuff like that, but Joy knows Seeds. They were like a facilitator, but I think that's more, I'm not sure if that's a proper place, but they help nonprofits through stuff like that. Seeds, SEEDS. And was there something else I want to say? I can't remember exactly what it was, but I'd be for something like that, you know.
I gather that this would be some kind of educational, self-educational project. You know, I just want to remind us, too, we can meet here and just suspend the rules and have a free discussion and achieve, I think, much of what we could achieve in a retreat. I'm just raising that because it can be hard for people to get to, you know, take extra weekends out to come to these meetings. We have a lot of people we would have to find time for. So I'm wondering if this is something we could achieve at our next scheduled LSB meeting and just say, you know, we'll block out the afternoon and have agree to suspend the rules, have some food, have a facilitator or not. And just have a free discussion there and engage in some self. It could be public. I don't know. We could vote to do an executive session. I don't know. I mean, maybe it would be useful to have a public meeting. But we're looking for some kind of venue or format where people feel free to talk and don't feel burdened by having to make, you know, formal motions and take decisions. And we could achieve that, too.
Sharon.
Yeah, just to give maybe, I'm timing myself. Okay, just to give a little background. I have been one of the people that's been in this cross-factional, or however you want to call it, group that's been discussing. And I have learned a lot in talking to the various people around this room about KPFA. And a lot of LSB members have a lot of info about the history of KPFA. And I think we have a lot of collected wisdom in the room that could be shared. So that's kind of the concept, is that that's what's not really allowed in these meetings. So we would have space for people to share what's happened in the past, what has failed, and what has worked. And because in doing this, I have actually checked, there was, it just in seeing whether we could do a retreat, because there was a question, I read a case, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting did an audit of Pacifica, and it was in the 90s, and I was actually astounded to read it, because it was like all the issues that we are having now. I mean, it was truly amazing. It's like, okay, you know, a decade has gone by and nothing has changed. So maybe having a little history and background will help us to come up with new solutions, possibly. Because here's what I noticed when we all met the first time, is that every single person in this room cares about Pacifica and KPFA. But we seem to get divided, you know, and sometimes it's the rules, or I don't really know why. So we came up with the concept as a way to try to come together around the things that we agree about and maybe work towards solutions from that point. And then the last thing I really want to say is I kind of like your idea, Craig, about maybe doing it on the same day or something, but I would actually suggest that that's something for the task force to work out, and that's just the kind of logistical detail. We're really just trying to get the approval of the LSB to go forward with the concept and allow the task force to work out the details. Time!
Barb? I think this is a great little discussion we're having right now, but we need to keep in mind, I know people, especially new people, think, well, we don't like these rules, well, we just throw them away. But we need to be mindful about the business of having to have, our meetings need to be public, so we have to call this something else, and we do need to have a certain number of meetings a year, and we have those scheduled now. And we did have a retreat a couple years ago about anti-racism, or people used different titles. And that was a separate meeting. It was private, just for the LSB. Sam Sarah Morgan and someone that she works with in that field facilitated. I thought it was a great meeting. About half of the LSB members attended. Thankfully, all the officers were there. But I've often thought that that was something that we should do again, myself. But I think it's also important to have that kind of private, just for the LSB, discussion about the problems that we're living with this foundation and the station. I mean, I don't think that we only want to save Pacifica. I want to save KPFA.
Somebody call for the question.
I want to say one more thing. Of course you do.
Doesn't everybody?
Well, look, the problem we just ran into as we were talking about it was there's certain things that we can't talk about in an open meeting. So we're thinking about talking about those things at the retreat. So we have to be able to talk about certain things in some forum if we're going to get where we need to get to. So that's the problem. We have to be able to discuss certain things that are going on in some forum. And if we can't talk about them publicly, then we have to talk about them in executive session. Because if we don't talk about those things, then we're not getting done what we need to get done. So what's the forum to talk about those things?
There is a motion on the floor that we have a retreat that is facilitated. You want to read it again?
No.
Okay, Sasha wants to talk. Okay, do I have a stack? Okay, we'll develop another stack. We have how many minutes left? We have 31 minutes left to the meeting. We're on item 11. We have the PNB report, the audit committee, the director's access to employee records, the CAB report, the KFCF report, old business, the remote participation in meetings, and the motions regarding WBAA non-representation on the PNB report. So we have 20, we now have, we have 31 minutes, but we're on this. So Sasha, what's the, who else had their hand up? Anthony? So I'm taking a stack on this. We're going to go some more. Go ahead, Sasha.
Yeah, I apologize for missing part of this discussion. But the part I did hear sounded to me like there were still some questions you just, Bill just raised, or summarized those questions about what we can and how to do it and so forth. For myself, I think it would be very good to separate this from an actual LSB meeting so that we're in a different frame of mind when we go into this retreat and we didn't just come out of Robert's Rules of Order and perhaps acting factionally at least part of the time, and that we just, this is a whole separate entity. I think that's really important. And I think having sufficient time to really discuss the things. I also have a concern about wanting to be able to get into things and not worry about whether what has just been said or I would like to say might fall under the purview of an executive session or not, and like it sounds like this would allow us to have a little bit more of a freewheeling discussion. So I just want to put that in for people to think about.
Anthony?
I'm just curious, what do people think, given the constraints on such a retreat, that it can't debate and discuss points to be voted on later, and given that we wouldn't have non-LSB members present except the facilitator, given all that, what is it expected that this would accomplish?
Anyone on your stack?
Brian?
Well, I'm speaking only for myself, but I think there's two things. One is that within this board, there's a lot of asymmetry in terms of how much information everybody has. And we haven't done a great job of getting people up to speed as they come on the board. And it would be an opportunity for an extended information sharing session. And the other is, and this is based on my experiences, I participate in this cross-factional dialogue group sometimes. I think it has built a lot of trust in the goodwill, even if there's not agreement, but the good faith of people on both sides of the divide. And I think extending that kind of conversation in a non-rigidly formatted decision-driven Robert's Rules process could put this board on a very good footing to be more effective moving forward.
Craig.
Okay, well, I just want to raise again, I think Barbara mentioned the anti-racism workshop retreat we'd had before, and as I recall, what we did was have like half a day as a regular meeting, and then we adjourned, and then we had a retreat for the board. Oh, okay. Okay, there was a meeting that got canceled and we held it that. Yeah, anyway, so I just wanted again to suggest that I'm looking at how we can do this on a schedule that allows as many people to participate as possible. And since we've already blocked out the meeting days for the rest of the year, if there's a way to maximize that.
Any more discussion on this proposal? Seeing none, are you ready to vote? All right. All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. Is there anybody opposed? One opposed. Anybody abstaining? One abstention. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the PNB. We actually have a break, but we're not taking it because we're about to end, and we had a break.
A point of information.
Yeah.
Are we going to have a task force that, that works on retreat?
Okay.
And who's that?
Who would like to be on that task force? Well, no, but this should be an LSB task force. Who would like to be on this?
This task force is going to develop this retreat. An idea for this retreat.
A proposal for the date, time, place, agenda, da da da, blah blah blah. So nobody wants to do that.
Can you do it?
Okay, Sharon, Sabrina.
Hell, sign up Margie. She's sick.
Right on.
Right. I just
want to
clarify.
Not showing up. That's right.
If I can clarify one thing. Now that I'm on the task force, one thing that has come clear in our meetings is that time is of the essence, or it could potentially be. We just don't know. So I don't want to wait until the next meeting to bring a proposal here. I want to have the authority from this body, if that's okay with this body, to, for example, send out a doodle poll, set up dates, you know, try to, like, make it happen.
Yeah. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
A second?
Second.
Discussion? Vote? Are we going to vote on it? All in favor of giving the task force authority to poll us to move this? Anybody opposed? Anybody abstaining? One abstention. Okay. So, great. And Margie's on it, yes. No, she's on it. PNB report. Janet.
Okay, so starting with the March 3rd PNB meeting, given the impasse regarding the new WBAI LSB officers and WBAI director elections, Serene Roberts was seated as a director carried over from the 2015 PNB. None of the other three WBAI directors from 2015 were eligible. The CFO and the ED were authorized to be primary signatories and operators on all financial accounts for all units. Moving to March 17th, it was a continuation meeting of the March 3rd meeting. Again, given the impasse regarding the WBAI director's elections, the PNB approved a motion that the PNB carry out new WBAI LSB officers and WBAI director's elections via email balloting. And that took place, and the PNB is awaiting an announcement by the PNB chair of the outcome, and it should be forthcoming probably on Monday. Then moving to the April 7th meeting, the PNB approved a timeline for the first ballot of the bylaws amendment process. The notice date of the proposed bylaws amendments is April 17th, and the PNB will vote on the proposed bylaws amendments at its June 2nd meeting. The LSBs will then have 60 days after that to vote on the proposed bylaws amendments approved by the PNB, and we've done that here many times. There have been some, well, I mean, this is a short date, you know, a short timing thing, but I mean, bylaws amendments can be proposed or written up, drafted any time, but then the date that they have to be actually noticed would be April 17th. So lawsuits, there are as you probably know, a couple of lawsuits regarding the WBAI-LSB elections. One was filed in New York and one here in Alameda County. The 2014 audit, it should be complete soon, possibly even by the end of next week. And there seems to be a bunch of various factional narratives about what the status of the audit is. So, I mean, that's found that to be the case. While I mention that, and aside, I just wanted to announce here, this is kind of sort of separate, but I have disaffiliated myself from one of the factions, the United for Community Radio faction. And so I'm unaligned or not aligned with any faction. This was about a month ago. Faction of One, right. Then the audit committee met. That's the next item. So I just.
If I may add an addenda to the PNB report. So on Thursday night's conference call, Pacifica CFO laid out two paths on the audit that's currently underway, which is our 2014 audit. He warned us, and this is all in public session, that the auditors are considering putting a going concern note in our audit. That is the auditors saying, where everyone can see it, that they think there is a risk we would not be in business 12 months from the date of the audit, within 12 months of the date of the audit. We've actually had going concern notes before, I think in two previous audits. I'm not quite sure how we got them knocked out. When the auditor is expressing that concern, what you do is try to satisfy their concerns, present a plan that says, this is what we will do to keep our doors open. He suggested there were two courses of action. We could kind of concede that note, finish the audit quickly, and move on to the 2015 audit, which... you know, if we don't have that done by the end of June, we start to take penalties in any CPB payments we might get. Or we could try to present that plan, which he estimated, his estimate, there's disputes about how long, that it would take 4 weeks to produce a credible plan that he could sign off on with confidence and present to the auditors, and then no guarantee that they would accept that to clear the going concern note. And the board basically opted with that one. The take more time, try to avoid the going concern note course of action.
But there was more to that, where the there was an agreement that it would be not 4 weeks, but over the weekend, this plan would be worked on during the week. So,
as I said, there were disputes over how long that would take.
So I have two questions. Tim. Two questions. One, I guess, is what is the risk of having a going concern note in? Because we've had going concerns, and frankly, if I have going concerns about whether we're going, I mean, I think it would be foolhardy to not think that there's a risk of us not being here 12 months from now. That was one question. And the other question is, there was something mentioned about this ED and CFO having I didn't understand it, I guess. You said something early in the report about the CFO and the ED had access to all the units' banking. So the ED could go to KPFA's bank account now and say, I need $10,000 for another unit's payroll and sign off without, is that what I'm hearing? And is that different from how it was? And should I be concerned about that if it is different?
Ryan.
It's not different from how it has been. It's a power that's always existed and it's very rarely exercised.
Sasha, pass Sasha the mic.
Hold on. Second question was about the going concern. So if, for instance, to even out our cash flow, we wanted to take out a loan, having a going, the bank giving us the loan, unless it was some fly-by-night predatory lender, would ask to see our most recent audit. If they saw the going concern load, they might either decline the loan or jack the interest rate up to basically something predatory. Any vendors who are really on it, who saw that, and our audits are public documents, might ask for prepayment of expenses rather than billing on a net 30, which would make our already precarious cash situation even tighter. Last time we had a going concern note, that did not happen that I'm aware of. And there's a theoretical risk that any foundation we were approaching for money or major donor we were approaching for money who did their due diligence by looking at our audit might be deterred from making a gift if they saw a going concern note, because they'd be worried that we were out of business before we could spend it as advertised.
Okay, are we, Sasha?
Yeah, if I can, as a member of the audit committee, I can answer the question about why the going concern notice in the past has not been a problem. It's because the audits were all so late that when the audit appeared with a going concern comment, more than it's a, the audit going concern is about whether we can survive the next 12 months. Well, the next 12 months had already passed and we had survived.
All right. Are we done with this? Okay, the next item is the director's access to employee records. Oh, I thought you just did the audit committee.
Well, it's a PMB audit committee. Just all I wanted to say is that the audit committee met on Monday with the auditor, the lead auditor, and on Wednesday with the CFO. I won't say any more.
Okay. The director's access to employee records, is it?
So I guess I just wanted to say, and I don't think there was anything, and you can stop me, Janet, because I don't have my computer with me with the notes, that what was really clear in both of those meetings was the incredible financial straits that we are in, and that the only station that is really on any kind of just okay footing is this one, and we have no cash flow. So that means that at the end, or as we come to the end, if we come to the weeks before a new fund drive, and then during the fund drive and perhaps, you know, for a week or two afterwards, we're really short on cash and can't actually pay bills because we've, you know, until we get more cash coming in, and the other stations are in far worse shape than that. So I just throw that out there because I think it's something for everyone to be aware of as we sort of, what seems to me like, and forgive me, it's going to be a snide comment, fiddle while Rome burns.
Bill, and then Jan.
Well, just a small point. I think if you heard that comment, you'll understand why some people want to have the retreat. That's the whole point, because we have to deal with the situation.
13 minutes, Janet.
So there have been some things that the audit committee has discussed that are not really about what the audit committee should be discussing. There were finance issues, and this is an example. So it really, you know, that's one of the things that has come up in these meetings. But even at all for the audit committee. But I would like to move that the CAB report be.
The next section here is something that has to do with you. And has to do what that's been looming, but I leave it to the group whether or not they want to move the CAB report or have a discussion about directors' access to employee records. I'm
but
open
it's just
for
10
either
minutes.
Of them. Yes, I understand that. Sharon?
I do not want to change the agenda right now, but I would like to suggest that on future agendas we put the CAB report at the beginning, because I think it's only respectful to them to make them to give them time up front rather than making them sit through our whole meeting.
Okay. And I think that that is an expression of wanting the CAB report to go.
Well, I'll be bold and say I move we postpone the 15C to our next agenda. I think it's a contentious issue. We're kidding ourselves if we think it's 10 minutes and we have people who've been sitting here all afternoon. Well, first the chair has to ask for objection.
I second that. Yeah. You know, relax, Brian.
Okay.
Any
objections? Swear into the microphone.
I hereby swear this is the solemn truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God.
State your name for the record, please.
This is Robin Collin, the Community Advisory Board rep to the LSB.
Hi, Robin.
And I can't talk like Frank. Okay, KPFA Advisory Board held its annual community input meeting on March 26th at the Taria Hall, Pittman, South Berkeley Library. The meeting was announced on the air with a cart created by Frank Sterling, and flyers were distributed in the station and in the community. It was announced at KPFA and at community events and posted on several community websites. Over 55 people attended, including local station board members, organizers from unions, community organizations, and all CAB members were there. Participants had an opportunity to introduce themselves and speak about their interest in KPFA. They proposed and participated in breakout groups, which included group about social justice and Black Lives Matter, news and public affairs programming, resisting privatization of public education, and the Pacifica finances and governance. And one second. Sorry, but we have 14 different communities come, and I just wanted to read some of the people. We had North Berkeley, South Berkeley, 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 but we also had Novato, Cotati, Washington, Mill Valley, Novato, San Anselmo, Antioch, El Sobrante, Redwood City, Oakland, Emeryville. So there was a good wide circle of people that came. Right. So the task forces that were formed were three. The one that I worked on was the Pacifica Finance Task Force, which would, of course, be totally interested in your LSB meeting and probably can't do anything that you guys aren't going to be able to do. We had talked about, we have a lady that's the Marin County Health Clinic lady accountant that does the accounting for multiple organizations, for multiple sources, and multiple funding. And she feels like she could possibly help our CFO get a system together that would help him get his audits done in a timely manner. And we suggested that we might be able to possibly put them together. And Carol will continue.
Carol Wolfley, Community Advisory Board. The KPFA CAB Advisory Board, News and Public Affairs Task Force, we had a follow-up meeting after on the phone, and some of our objectives are to begin to build working relationships. These are things that the task force is exploring. Build working relationships with programmers and staff from sister stations and affiliates to form a Pacifica-wide public affairs and news sharing network, to expand options including connecting at national independent radio conferences, collaborating across stations on election coverage, promoting Sprout's Pacifica grassroots radio programming, and syndication of Pacifica programming. Also to identify new non-corporate funded sources for national and international news and decrease use of pro-corporate and government-controlled sources like FSN, to expand internship pools for news and public affairs programming, establish a pool of community journalists from local and regional organizations, and create a system for them to provide audio and video segments electronically to the station, increase work hours of KPFA's Spanish-speaking programmers for additional news and public affairs programming in Spanish, increase outreach to the community for news and public affairs programming to let people know what is on the programs more. There was also a task force for KPFA's community service to provide announcement, analysis, and live coverage of public actions and protests. This committee is working together online to explore proposals, including how to increase the number of PSAs and community calendar postings. The CAB is requesting action. We now have 9 members on the CAB. Of those, 4 will complete their second three-year terms and term out in June of 2016. 3 will complete their first three-year term and wish to continue. That's Robin, myself, and Jennifer Fazio. 2 are still in their first year. The CAB received a nomination form from Michael Sukoff, which I emailed to all of you. I hope you got it. And 2 others are in the process of applying. We continue to seek people of color to create more diversity on the CAB and welcome more applications. We request that the 3 CAB members eligible for a second term be confirmed and that Michael Sukoff be appointed to the CAB. Thanks. Any questions?
You got my levels up? Okay, thanks. The task force for Spanish speaking, I know that's been mandated by the national board that there has to be 5 more hours per week. Is that correct?
Yes.
5 hours per week, yeah. I'm on that task force via the LSB, so I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I guess this is overlapping, or let's talk later and figure out what you guys are doing, and then I can tell you what they're doing.
I think one of our concerns is to have – oh, sorry to interrupt.
No, no, no.
I think one of our interests is to have representatives from the community and from the KPFA community who have been working at the station and have the contacts rather than to bring in somebody else or just read it off, rip and read in Spanish.
Right, exactly. There was a rumor that there was supposed to be some paid outside group coming in, which I'm completely against. So let's join forces and make sure that doesn't happen. Thanks.
Thank you. Anything else?
Thank you, Janet.
Okay. Yes.
KFCF has Amy Goodman coming to town April 29th at the Big Red Church in Fresno. We got that coming up. And we began streaming again on April 1st, so we are now streaming on the Internet again. So if you really need to hear what the signal sounds like coming through KFCF, you can do that now. Right. And I think that's about it.
Right. Janet?
I move to adjourn.
All in favor? This meeting is now adjourned. Bye, Scott. Bye, Kate. Bye, Ramses.